The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Sale. Costco had a sale. You know, we couldn't get toilet paper, but chocolate syrup was there. And so you get what you can get when you get it, right? So, well, guess what? Now they got toilet paper, and now they don't have chocolate syrup. Anybody needs chocolate syrup? Just a little premium, and you can have it. And no, I'm... So, but the Lord will never give you anything that you're not going to use unless it doesn't come from the Lord. Now, a lot of people like to say that they're speaking of the Lord told them something and he didn't say it. Amen? And we got to be careful of that. The Bible warns. Jesus warned. Peter warned. They all warned in the last days, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, in the last days, you know, men will not endure sound doctrine. Amen? And so there has to be a doctrinal soundness. It doesn't matter. I'm going to just be real honest with you. It doesn't matter if you're Baptist. I used to be a Baptist. It doesn't matter if you're a Pentecostal. It doesn't matter if you're a Methodist. It doesn't matter if you're a Brethren. You have to have sound doctrine. Right. Without the doctrine, it's just philosophy, right? And without the sound doctrine, we could just follow Plato and Aristotle rather than Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, some of those guys were pretty smart. I mean, Galileo. We tend to gravitate toward people that are smart because we can learn something from them, right? And so what we need to understand then is that there is a philosophical smartness, and then there is spiritual doctrine and sound doctrine. There's also some doctrines that's not sound, right? And we've seen a lot of people get caught up in doctrines that were not sound, and when they're exposed or when they're found out, you know, the Bible says the man that builds his house upon the sand, when the wind comes and when the rains fell and beat against that house, do you know what that means? That notice also, let me just back up a little bit because I don't want to jump the gun. The guy that built his house on the rock, the same winds came, the same rains fell, and they beat upon it. So it's not that we're not going to go through things. It's what you're standing on. It's what your foundation is built of that's going to matter. Amen? And that's where sound doctrine comes in. We have to have sound doctrine. Without that, you know, and am I going to believe, are we going to agree on every point? No, we're not. But we're not called to. You know what we're called to? We know what we're called to agree on? We're called to agree on Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, sinless life, crucified on a cross as a sacrifice for many, buried 3 days, risen, and coming again. The rest is just fluff. When you get that, you see, that is the rock upon which we stand. As believers in Christ, that is the rock upon which we stand. Nothing added, nothing taken away, Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And that's where we stand. That is the foundation that anchors us. You know, how many of you saw this week that the big hurricane that was coming in? You know, and I've got friends down there, and those of you members down there watching on the broadcast, we're still praying for you. Reach out to us if you have needs. The river is here to help. But you know, one of the things that they do, we've got a couple of Navy guys in here. Now, don't throw tomatoes at me if I'm wrong, but they don't dock the ships in the storm. A ship will get beat to death at the dock. How many of you saw the piers that just got ripped out from front to back, half a mile pier, ripped out, three quarters of a mile pier? They don't dock the ships. Ships weren't made to be tethered in a storm. Right. Too many believers, whoo, I gotta get to shore. No. You don't understand. And we're gonna talk about this on Wednesday night. This is the second half of this message. But they put the ships to sea. They put the ships out, so that they're not beat against the stationary objects And I remember one of the other hurricanes, my friend down there had a picture of a million-dollar yacht that was in his swimming pool, and he is 4 miles off the coast. A million-dollar yacht just came on in, and I said, well, now you got a guest house. A pretty nice guest house, you know. Don't have a pool anymore, but you have a guest house. We need to anchor on that rock, which is Christ Jesus. Amen. He's able to stand every storm. He saw the storm coming. He looked and he saw what was going. He knows before you even arrived in this day what you were going to be facing. He knows what you're going to go into tomorrow. And I'm glad that he brought us to this place, because if the Lord brought you to it, he'll see you through it. Amen. Can we have faith and confidence in the Lord that he will bring us through it? He'll see us through it. Has anybody in there here been going through the daily fire? Oh, man, I'm telling you what, our daily devotions, they are fire. And I had to, it made me think a little bit. Matter of fact, we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 2. It made me think a little bit, all right? And that's what the Word of God's supposed to do. If you can be in the Word of God and it doesn't make you think, or it doesn't make you question what you're doing, where you are, and how things are going in your life, then you're not reading it proper. You're reading it as a novel and not as a love letter or an instruction manual for yourself. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2. And let me set the stage for you. This is the passing of Elijah. Okay? It's a transference of Elijah to Elisha, okay? And if I were to spend all my time, I could just spend all my time on Elijah. Awesome. But Elisha isn't too shabby either. Amen. And we're going to begin reading in the first verse, 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass, when the Lord, and note, is Lord there all caps in your Bibles? All caps? That's God's name. And we don't know the translation of it, honestly. We say Yahweh. It's just because the Hebrew scribes would not write the name of God. They still will not write the name of God. I've got a friend in Israel, and when he talks and we email back and forth, he will write G_D. He will not write God's name. He will not say God. They seriously revere the name of God so much, it is so holy that it is, their lips are unworthy to speak it. Remember, we were talking about over in Daniel, and we were talking about over in Isaiah, and each of them had unclean lips. Remember? And the angel took a coal off the altar so that they could speak in the presence of God, touched their lips, purified their lips. The name of God is to be revered. It's not a swear word, not a cuss word, not an adjective for the S word when you hit your hand with a thumb with a hammer, or you stick a piece of steel or a piece of tin into the meaty part of your hand. Not a swear word. It wasn't, was it? Got the scar. About 3/16 of an inch deep and 1/4 inch long. I got the scar. He the first thing that came to my mind was ouch and Lord help. Not OMG. Some of the things that people are saying OMG to. One of these days, he's going to ask him, why did you invoke my name? Why did you bring me into that situation? That's another message. The Lord is in all caps. It means Yahweh. It's the name of the Lord. And when you see it in the Old Testament and it's all caps like that, they're telling you who it is, but it's a name. It's his name. All right? So now we know who we're talking about. Okay? And the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. All right? How many of you would like to know when the Lord's getting ready to take you up? would it change the way you're living? If the Lord told you, conveyed to you, now, tomorrow about this time, I'm coming to get you. How would you like to go? You know, I said, I can prepare a Mack truck. I can prepare one of the Norfolk Southern trains. Me, I'm thinking, hey, fiery chariot, you know, and a whirlwind and fire. You know, I'm thinking, you know, that's kind of cool. If the Lord said about this time tomorrow, I'm going to take you home. Would today be different than yesterday? I think about that for a little bit. I'm not trying to put condemnation on anybody, but if we really knew that we would never see, after today's sunset, we would never see another sunset, would our lives be impacted? I think for most of us it would be, wouldn't it? I'd want to hug those grandbabies one more time. I'd want to write a letter to the grandbaby that's on the way. I'd want to hug Ashley once more and convey to her a father's heart that I love her. Even though she's killing me and breaking my trucks, I love her.
Amen.
I would want to talk to Vanessa and try to make up for some of the years that I was an idiot. If I really knew. But you know something? We really don't. So today I'm going to hug my babies. We drop them off at Mom and Dad's house. I'm going to sugar them up. And I'm going to hug them. I'm going to talk to Ashley. I'm going to tell her a father's heart, Lester. I'm going to talk to Andy. I'm going to tell him, Dad loves you. Father's always looking for you. There's still a place. Come back to the source. Get out of the system. Come back to the source. Not going to re-preach it. Going to grab my wife. And I was so tired last night when I got home, and after we about killed an elder in the church, and I was concerned, I was worried, and I didn't have much time to talk with my wife last night. Pastor, if we only knew how many sunrises or how many sunsets that we had, you know, that's why, you know, we should consider the lilies of the field. They don't plant nor sow, they don't toil nor spin, but even Solomon in all of his glory wasn't arrayed as one of these. Amen. And for those of you who have found that Proverbs 31 woman, let me just assure you that she is more precious than rubies. Amen. One of the things that I don't have to worry about, one of the things that I don't have to, I know, even though I didn't get the time to tell her yesterday that I love her. She'd had the babies all day, and they just had them. Had just had them put down, and Willow was hanging on to see Papa one before she went to sleep. If we really knew, I think about that because we don't know. It could be us. You may get a call, or you may get an email, a text. JC's ticket came in and he went home. Well, let me just tell you, those of you here and those of you on the broadcast, I've left you a road map. You can come where I'm going. That's what Elijah was doing with Elisha. Matter of fact, he said he wasn't for sure. Some people say it was the most intimate moment. He didn't want to, and Elijah pushed him off. Well, let's read it. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please. For Jehovah has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." And so they went down to Bethel. Where does this, where do we hear this before? Where have we heard this? Don't ask me to leave you. Don't ask me to leave you. For your people will be my people. And your God will be my... Where have we heard this before? How many times do we say, you know, okay, I'm going to let you go. But how many times can we remember men of God in our lives that maybe we should have stayed an extra day? Maybe we should have went with them another time. I was thinking about that, and I talk about this a lot, and it means a lot to me. I was thinking the other day, man, if I could just pick up that phone, if I could just call 563-7326 and say, Daddy, I got a question. There's some stuff going on that I don't understand. I'll be 60 years old this year, and there's some stuff going on that I don't understand, Dad. Don't ask me to leave you. I'm going to go. As long as your soul lives, as long as the Lord lives, I'm going to be with you. You know what? We need to find us some good, godly people in our lives. Some that is rooted and grounded upon the Word of God and say, you know what? I don't have it all figured out. I don't believe that you have it all figured out. But between us and between our Lord, we're going to get through this together because He's got everything figured out. Amen? And so we need to say to our Christian brothers and sisters, don't send me away yet. There's still some more poor pork. I know it's there. There's still some more stuff. There's still some more time of fellowship. There's still some more time around a grill. There's still some more time of sharing. There's still some more time we can talk about Jesus, even if we throw in a classic car or two, right? That's what we need in the world today, is more of Christian fellowship, more brotherly love. What's the one thing that the Lord has said? Let brotherly love continue. Amen? And that's what we need. Okay? Thank you. Somebody got me all crying and snotting up here. Sorry about that. All right. Verse number 3 says, now the sons of the prophet who were at Bethel, now this was like a, he had like a Bible college. Okay, you can look at it like a Bible college or a prophecy ministry. But the sons of the prophets, okay, who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? Do you not know? Now these are well-meaning individuals. Well-meaning individuals, and they're sons of prophets. And they said, do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. You be quiet. Has anybody ever given you facts? Anybody ever given you information that you knew but you didn't really want to rehash it? That you knew but you didn't really care to understand. You knew, but you know, when my dad was passing, we knew that his time was short, and people were always saying, "Boy, he's not long for this world." And I'd say, "I know. Leave me alone. I want to spend time with him. I want to talk to him again. Leave me alone." Well, you better make preparation. He already made preparation. He didn't burden his kids. He left preparation. A wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So here they are. Well, there's always one in every crowd, right? Boy, it sure looks bad out there. Boy, the economy's tanking. The governments are doing this. The world's doing this. The Russians, the Koreans, you just name it. There's all kinds of bad news in the world. Do you know what? I'm ready for good news. I don't know. I don't care. You know what? We can have good news in the face of a storm. Amen. I want to be like that little squirrel on that movie Ice Age. I got me a little nugget of good news, and I'm just going to keep rolling it around, whether the glaciers melt, whether the oceans rise, whether, I don't care who's in power. Jesus Christ is Lord, and I'm going to hold on to that little nugget, and you can call me crazy if you want to, but I'm going to be excited because I know who I am, because the I Am has made me who I am, and He's told me who I am. Amen? And I can have joy in that. There is a peace that passes all understanding, and I've got to be hooked into that. And where we're at today in this world, in this environment, in this economy, maybe you ought to get hooked into the peace. His name is peace, and He passes all understanding. I don't understand it. Some of the things me and my friend are going through, I don't understand it, but we have a peace about us. I don't understand it, but one thing I do understand is Jesus is still on the throne. I don't understand it, but I know that He holds this world in His hands. I don't understand it, but I know that He has a place prepared for me. I don't understand it. I don't get it, but one of these days I will. Literally, one of these days. But I'm not going to go through life, oh, woe is me. You know, Eeyore was funny in the Winnie the Pooh series, but he doesn't make a good life companion. I'll leave that right there before I get in trouble. Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." I've run more people off by accident. I said the wrong thing, didn't shake the right hand, and I've had more people leave. Yet you got people. We need to have people that have the fortitude and the innards of Elisha that says, you know what, you're in the Word, you're a man of God, you're in the house of God, and I don't know what's going on over there, but I'm not, as long as the Lord lives and as long as your soul lives, I'm not going to leave you. Think about it. How many dear friends, I mean BFFs. If you think about it, I mean, we throw that word around loosely, don't we? Oh, we're friends. I've got a buddy that's got like 600 and some friends on Facebook. I'm like, really? Have you ever been over to any of their houses? You ever went out to eat with them and their families? Maybe I've got a different definition of friend. I don't know. I'll leave that alone. Don't want to meddle. And so they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho, isn't it amazing? There's always these guys around that are naysaying and always, you know, Captain Obvious. We had this little saying at our house. Captain Obvious, you know, somebody will always say, you get a flat tire and say, "Ooh, you got a flat tire, really? Wow, I wonder when that happened." When we were living in town, I had a little kid. You know, I'd be walking around the block for exercise. You know, had this little kid, and they come out there and go, "Ooh, Mister, you're fat," and I'm like, "Oh, I'm like, when did that happen? I just started walking, and I was 94 pounds. What happened?" Captain Obvious. They're Captain Obviouses in every crowd, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Then, besides the Captain Obviouses, you get the ones, well, you know what you should have done? Well, you know what you should have done? If I'd have been there, I'd have done it like this. Well, you wasn't there. You know what you, I'm not picking on a certain elder that says, "Well, why'd you do it that way?" Because that's funny. But there are always people that come around and say, "You know what you should have done? You know, when I was going through my trial, when I was in the deepest, darkest recesses of the wilderness, where were the people that come around after you're through and say, you know what you should have done? Yeah, you know what I should have done? The same thing I'm going to keep doing. I'm going to put you over here and I'm going to keep going because you were nowhere around when I was going through a trial. And then they'll get offended. Oh, you know. I want to show you something. Do you realize that a Christian does not have a right to be offended? Biblically. That's not JC talking. That's biblically. A Christian, a believer in Christ, does not have a right to be offended. You say, what are you talking about? I know Christians that are offended at everything. I know people, there may be people on the broadcast that get offended at me telling them you don't have a right to be offended and calling yourself a Christian. In today's society, we look for opportunities to be offended. Now, we come out of a generation that looked for opportunities to offend, and so I get that. You know, if we could just get in a time machine and put those two generations together, they would cancel each other out and we could go on living life, the good life. But alas, when Jesus hung on a cross, he took our offense from us and presented it before the Father who is in heaven. If he removed my offense from me, I can't be offended at you. What did we learn on Wednesday night? For the believer, if you don't forgive your brother's trespasses, God in heaven may not forgive you. That's a salvation issue. That was doctrine. If you don't forgive your brother's trespasses, God in heaven will not forgive you of your trespasses. That becomes salvation issue. And when do you not forgive your brother's trespasses? When you are offended. Offense is playing Russian roulette and thinking you're going to shoot the other guy. So we don't have a right to be offended. Here they come. More sons of the prophets. I don't know if they were preachers' kids, missionary kids. They were somebody that knew something, right? I'm a PK, so I can say that. I'm a PGK, so I can say that. Preacher's grandkid. I can say that. I got uncles that are pastors. I got uncles that are evangelists. I got great uncles. Anyway. All I wanted to do was sing my little song, play my little instrument. But no, God had other plans. All I wanted to do was become the next Jacques Cousteau, become an oceanographer. You say, in Indiana? Oh, yeah. Because there's beautiful places, you know. Anyway, God has other plans. Isn't it amazing when you tell God your plans and he goes, right. Let's see that. Let's see how that's working out for you. Right. Came to Elisha and said to him, here we go again, do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? So he said, yes, I know. And again he said, keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took out his mantle and he rolled it up and he struck the water and it divided this way and that so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. So it was that when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, Ask what I may do for you, and before I am taken away from you, Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And so he saw him no more. And he took a hold of his own clothes and he tore them into two pieces. And he also took up the mantle of Elijah, which had fallen from him, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it divided this way and that. And Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophet, who were from Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests upon Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. And then they said to him, look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let us go and search for your master, lest perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him up on some mountain or into some valley. And he said, you shall not go. You shall not send anyone. But when they urged him until he was ashamed, he said, send them. And therefore they sent 50 men and they searched for 3 days, but they did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, did I not say to you, do not go? Sometimes we can get so caught up in the fervor of the moment that we want to do things, and we ask the Lord, can we do it? Is it right? Can we do it? You know, we've been talking about David and Jonathan and when they were going out against the Philistines, and David and Jonathan would always ask of the Lord, shall I go up? Shall I not? And the Lord would say, yes, go up, or no, wait, don't go up. And so what we've got ourselves into as part of a bigger system in America is what the church is not doing enough is saying, Lord, shall I go or shall I stay? And we're too urgent or too eager to run headlong into the battle when the Lord says, the battle is mine, says the Lord. Sometimes we end up fighting battles that we were never intended or never meant to fight. And when we do, we get whipped and sent back, scurrying back behind enemy or back behind our own lines. And then we wonder, God, why did you do it? And he's, me. You see, if God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he knows the, our ending from our beginning and our beginning from our ending, that means that he has counted our days and numbered them, and he knew before we were ever thought of it with our mom and dads, he knew before we were ever created where we were going to be today and what we were going to be facing today and what we were going to be facing tomorrow. And for me, it's good enough that I would just allow him to have the driver's seat. He already knows. I was telling some of the guys this week we were working, I was telling some of the guys, I was playing with a Tesla driver the other day. Hands-free. I didn't think they were allowed to use hands-free vehicles in Indiana, but we were in Indiana and they were in Indiana. Nice blue Tesla, and she was putting on makeup and reading a book and texting and stuff. And every time somebody would get from here to the sign out there, that Tesla would brake automatically. And she'd have to put down her makeup and look around, you know, or whatever, her tablet and look around. I told Vanessa, I said, watch this. So I got out in the passing lane, and I went up around her a little bit, and I wasn't being unsafe. I was just playing with the car. Okay? And so I put my blinker on and got in, and nothing, whoop, next thing I know, she's way back. It was like I passed her doing 90. So finally, she evidently sped up and caught up to me again and passed me. And then, now this wasn't from but Plymouth to South Bend, right? And right there at Kern Road, I mean, we went parted company. But about five more times, I was able to do that. I got up there and got over and got up there, and that car backed off, and I'm like, you know what? That would drive me nuts. Because I know how some of y'all drive. I mean, I was having fun, but it would drive me. And Vanessa goes, you going to pull back? Oh, yeah. I said, look in the mirror. And then she did, and that Tesla backed off. You know? And the lady looked up. She never looked up until her car braked. She goes, what are you going to do if that thing don't break? And I said, I'm going to retire a millionaire. I'm doing it legally and safely. Too many times, we take our eyes off the wheel. We give the world control of us, and the world's saying, put on the brakes. But the Lord is saying, go ahead. You are more than conquerors in my name. Go ahead. You're more than conquerors. And too many times we want to trust the system. Well, that's a big message still. We want to trust the system, but the system is made in such a way that it will hinder our progress. Okay. So Elisha comes back, and the church folk, remember we talked about them before, they said, hey, we got 50 strong men, let us go looking for him. You know what? I know that the rednecks weren't around then, and the duck hunters weren't around then, and I know all them people weren't around then. You know, but today somebody would have at least surely said, he gone. You know, he gone. And he said, no, don't worry about it. Don't do it. He told them twice. He said, don't do it. Don't do it. You know, didn't you? They were standing on the bank. Didn't you say, well, maybe the Lord wasn't, maybe the Lord wasn't strong enough to hold him. Well, I know we picked him up in that fiery chariot and on them horses and the chariot of Israel. Maybe the Lord wasn't strong enough to hold him. Let us send 50 men in case he dumped him out somewhere. Right? You ever been dumped out of a vehicle before? I had a cousin got mad at me one time. I'm like, dude, I mean, you need to slow down. Dude, he was reckless and the car wasn't safe. He says, well, do you prefer walking? I said, sure, I prefer walking. And 12 miles from home, he stopped and said, get out. I didn't have 50 men coming looking for me. I just ended up walking the rest of the way to Grandpa's house. And we dealt with things after that. But when we got back in the car again, he drove civilly. Something about Vegas. People like to drive Vegas fast. So that's been a while ago. Well, are you sure, Elisha? We saw you coming back with his mantle, and remember what did Elisha pray for? A double portion. And guess what? He took the mantle of Elijah, and he hit the water with it, and the water went just like it did. There's one. We can look it up. You can reference your scriptures. And Elijah performed 7 great miracles. We don't know how many little ones, but 7 great ones. And at the end of Elisha's life, if my math is correct, he did 14, a double portion. That's great, isn't it? But what if he had asked God for a triple portion? A quadruple measure? What if he'd ask him, as they were talking in the New Testament, 30-fold, 60-fold, what if he'd ask? Do we put limitations on God in our life when the Lord wants to bless us and the Lord wants to move us and the Lord wants to protect us and he wants to provide for us? Do we put limitations on God and say, you know, a lot of times we get those pies over at Walmart. You know, the humble pies. Do you know they had their humble pies on sale 2 weeks ago? I got 3 of them because every now and again I want to use one. Give me a little piece of humble pie. Oh, woe is me. I serve it to my Eeyore Christian friends. Okay, for those of you on the broadcast, Walmart does not sell humble pies, but there are a lot of people been eating from the humble pie, right? If the Lord brings you to it, and the Lord brings it to you, then it is for your good. Right? Because he cares for you. If he brings you to a trial, it may just be to slow you down a little bit while something in front of you passes. Oh, I gotta quit. We'll get into this on Wednesday night deeply. I remember when the kids were little, we were coming back and we would always go to Wabash to Mom and Dad's house for Christmas and Thanksgiving. And Christmas, we would open up our gifts down there and then come back. And then Christmas morning, we would open our gifts. And between Wabash and Claypool right there at the overhead, it had been raining, freezing rain. And we came up where Dreyfus wasn't even there, but we came up where that house was that used to be by Dreyfus. And I saw this strange thing. At first, I was thinking, you know, because it was like 1 or 2 in the morning, and I was thinking, wow, an alien spaceship. Because it was a white light, boom. Then it was red lights, boom. Then it was a white light, boom. And it was just sitting there rotating like a beacon. And right in front of the little overhead church there, a guy had come over the overhead, and he hit that ice, and then he hit a dry spot, and it flipped his car, and his car was going woo, woo, woo. And you know what? I thought, oh, Lord, you saved me. And I would, that's the story that JC would tell every other time. The Lord saved us from a wreck. What he didn't tell was when we were leaving Mom and Dad's, how my stupid car wouldn't start. We just started at Zimmer, had an old stupid Buick Skylark, and it wouldn't start. I could put a brand new battery in it and eat it in 4 hours. Pablo and I know we both lived the life of young guys at Zimmer's, because Zimmer's is the place to get a job, and everybody wants to work at Zimmer's, but we didn't start out at where we are. As a matter of fact, we came up there in that stupid car. My dad, on Christmas Eve, my dad had to get the jumpers out and jump me. And he says, you want me to follow you home? 40 miles. You want me to follow you home? I'll follow you home. I was delayed a half hour. I got inquiring of the young man. I said, when did this happen? He goes, man, I couldn't. He goes, about a half hour ago. He goes, I didn't even know it was ice. I had babies in the car. I was the first car behind him on Christmas Eve, Christmas morning at that point. If God stops you, there's a reason for it. Pastor and I were going hunting one morning. I went out and my crazy truck had a flat. I went out and I was, what in the world? We were planning on it. We'd been planning on it for a long time. My crazy, it was a little bit windy the night before, and it was windy that morning, and I thought, oh, so I called him, I texted him. I said, hey, man, I got a flat. I don't know what to do. I said, we'll go back to bed, and we'll hunt the afternoon hunt. My father-in-law said, you know, did you guys hear that thing when you were walking in the morning? I said, we didn't come down in the morning. He said, it sounded like a tree fell over in the back. He said, it popped. It sounded like thunder. Went back there, and where my blind was at, there was a limb about that big around and about that long that would have straightly impaled me had I been sitting in that blind. I got mad because I had a flat tire. I got mad because the Lord delayed me, and what he was doing was saving me. And if we think about it, we've had all kinds of opportunities in our lives and all kinds of places where the Lord, we may have even got mad as I did. Why did you delay me? Why did you? He said, I didn't delay you, son. I saved you. You may be going through something right now that's preventing you from going through a tragedy. In all things, bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be upon my lips. I don't care if the religious folks tell me, you know, we're going to go out and check anyway. We're going to ask you, shall we go out? Shall we do this? Shall we do that? No. You're fine. You just stay still. You're fine. You just, no, we're going to do it anyway. And I've had people in this church do it anyway. Elisha said, didn't I tell you not to? Didn't I tell you there was no need? He said, don't go. Wednesday night, we're going to get into Acts chapter 27, where the Apostle Paul told a group of people, don't go. But they went anyway. And the key element of that is, he said, you all be saved. You shouldn't have come. You should have listened to me. You all be saved. But you got to stay in the boat. We started off by talking about how they take ships and bigger boats out into the deep so that they can ride out the storm. 1959, off the shore of Hilo, Hawaii. On the other side of the Pacific, an earthquake had happened and a tidal wave was coming. And there was warnings going off. Just like every hurricane, there's warnings. Get out, get out, get out. Just like every hurricane. People were having a party on the beach in Hilo, Hawaii. Dr. Wilmington tells this story. And they saw this little wave out in the ocean. The sirens on the beach were blaring. By the time they realized that the wave was a monster 50-foot wave and it was traveling at 50 miles an hour, no one could escape. Yet out in the ocean, ships just went right over it. They just felt a slight disturbance as they went over the little wave. But as it continued to come ashore, it devastated the coast. And hundreds, if not thousands, of people lost their lives. Don't be entertained by the things of this world. There's a storm coming. Elisha said, don't go, twice. The Apostle Paul said, you shouldn't have went, but if you did, if you stay with the ship, there'll be no loss of life. Amen? Wednesday night, stay with the ship. You say, well, what ship are you talking about? We used to sing that hymn, that old ship of Zion. Amen? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we give you the honor, the glory. It all belongs to you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you that you put people into our lives. Lord, and we just ask right now that you put someone in our lives that we can say, I'm not going to leave, not as long as the Lord lives and not as long as your spirit lives. I'm not going to leave because God put us together. Father, we thank you. We praise you. I ask right now, Lord, that you just have your way. And Lord, take this word and Lord, seal it into our hearts. Don't let us get away from it because, Lord, it came from you and it is of you. We love you, Jesus. And I thank you for all those gathered here today. And it's in your wonderful name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.